Welcome to the Marlton Assembly of God Sermon Podcast. Our church is focused on developing fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. We hope you are blessed by this message.
Good morning. Good morning. It's so good to be here. My name's Joe, and my wife Jen is in the second row here. Jen, can you say hi to everybody? All right, there you are. And then my oldest daughter, Hannah. She's 21. She's going to be a senior in college. And so she's growing up real quick. And then Micah is 18. Micah, can you wave to everybody? No, he doesn't like when I call on him, but he likes it on his in his timing. So, and our youngest daughter, Clara, is back home in Arkansas. She is in a volleyball tournament for high school, and so she'll be joining up with us here in a few days. But it's so good to be here with you guys. It's been a couple years since we shared our story. We were up here on stage as a family, and you might remember that. If you were here for that, just raise your hand if you guys heard our story before. Okay, I'm going to do the same exact thing today, so you can just go to sleep. No, just kidding. No, I'm not. I actually have the privilege to preach a message today, Love Does, Salt and Light. And normally when we go to churches, we share our story or we share about the ministry. And so it's exciting for me. Hopefully it's exciting for you that I get to preach today. But I'm looking forward to it. So we're going to look at Matthew 5, 13 through 16. So for those of you who haven't heard our story, my wife and I are U.S. missionaries to persons with disabilities. We didn't even know there was such a thing under the Assemblies of God, but the Assemblies of God has world missions and U.S. missions, and then under U.S. missions, there's basically seven different windows of U.S. missions, and there's persons with disability under there, and under intercultural ministries. So if you went on the Assembly of God website, you'd have to click like 14 times probably before you find our little area. But it's there, and I've tried to tell them they need to make it a little more easy to find for families of children with special needs. But so we have the privilege to travel and equip churches to better include individuals with disabilities in their families, in the church. And then Ability Tree comes alongside families impacted by disability through REST, which stands for Recreation, Education, Support, and Training. And so if you're a parent of a child with special needs, or if you're a parent in general, you know a temporary rest, a respite, or a temporary rest is something that you need to have on a regular basis. So we help families, we provide a rhythm of respite for families that gives them time to pour into their significant other or go grocery shopping or take a nap or, you know, whatever they need. And we do that. We do after-school programs in Northwest Arkansas. We do Friday night, what's called Parents Night Out, for 4 hours. We include siblings in that, so give the parents and caregivers a temporary rest. And we do that every Friday night during the school year. And we do all kinds of, we do art programs. My wife's an artist. And we do community events, we rent out aquatic centers, and we've been doing Micah's Big Day Out for nine years, and we invite families of children with special needs to come and enjoy an inclusive, accessible environment and meet other families that have children with special needs. And so we do a lot of fun stuff, but we couldn't do what we do without you guys, without Marlton and other churches and individuals supporting us. And we have some, like my brother over there, Frank Gerard. He's like my older brother. Obviously, he's older than me. But and we pick on each other too. But he was board member for many years with Ability Tree. And literally, I don't have a big brother, but he's the closest thing to a big brother that I do have, and been a mentor and friend. Their whole family has, and Janine, his daughter's with them, and I've known her since she was a little baby. So. And the DeCaros are here, and if I start naming names, I'm going to forget people. But there's so many people that we love and know here, and that we couldn't be doing what we're doing without your support. So thank you guys so much for your support. Turn with me again to Matthew 5, 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt should lose its taste, how can it be made salty? It's no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand, and it gives light for all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you've given us life through your Son, Jesus. Thank you, God, that you've called us to be salt and light. Holy Spirit, I just pray that I would decrease and that you would increase in me now and give me the words to say this morning. And God, I pray for every person in this place, every person listening, God, that you would open hearts and open minds this morning as your word is shared and do a work that only you can do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I've got a question for you this morning. How salty are you? How salty are you? You know, I hear that sometimes, and I think salty, you know, from a worldly perspective isn't always a good thing, but from a godly perspective, we're called to be salt, and we're called to, this is a way that the Message paraphrases it, and I like it. It says, let me tell you why you are here, and let me just prerequisite this by saying this is Jesus talking to his disciples. This is after the blessings, after the Beatitudes, and Jesus is talking to his disciples, and whenever Jesus was speaking publicly, usually there was a crowd of people following him, and so he was addressing his disciples, but there was a big crowd there on the side that was listening to him as he was sharing this, and so he's talking to us as Christians, but he's also letting the world know what their purpose is, what he's calling his creation to be. And so he says, let me tell you why you are here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You know, God has given us a huge responsibility to be salt for the earth. For as Christians, we are called to bring out the God seasoning, the flavors of God in others, and for non-Christians or unbelievers to see us and to just literally taste the difference in the way that we live our life compared to the way the world lives its life. And so some purposes of salt. The first purpose, salt seasons. Salt flavors foods and makes them more palatable. How many of you guys like salt? Yeah. A lot of people like salt. I've got to have salt on my French fries, right? You got to have salt on eggs, salt on popcorn. I mean, it's just not the same. Have you eaten popcorn that's not salted? Like, is it good for anything? I don't know, man. You throw it at people. But it's got to have butter and salt. But, you know, salt brings out the flavors of food. And as believers, as Christians, we can bring a special kind of grace and pleasantness to an otherwise ugly and unhappy world. You know, when you say a kind word to somebody, you know, I fly a little bit, and sometimes, you know, when you go to check in or the flight attendant may not be real nice, or the person checking you in, or if there's a delay, you know, people are angry at them, and just by saying a kind word, hey, how are you doing today? Not so good. Well, I just want to tell you, you know, I'm praying for you. I hope your day's better. I know you must have a lot going on. You know, just being kind, and that's being salt in an otherwise situation where most people are just going to be like, you know, complaining or getting upset. That's how we can bring a special kind of grace and pleasantness to the world. Second thing salt does is salt preserves. It prevents decay or acts as an antiseptic. So back in the day, you know, like, they didn't have refrigerators like we do. Did you know that? They never refrigerated. They had ice, but I don't think they had ice in like ancient Israel and stuff. But they probably had it shipped in. But you would put salt on meat, and it would preserve and prevent a decay, and so that, you know, you could eat the meat for more than one day. And so salt was a preservative, and now we can freeze things. We can put it in the refrigerator. But salt prevents decay, and by living as Christians, we are constantly battling moral and spiritual decay. You know, think about it as a Christian. How often have you walked into an environment that may be a toxic environment, maybe a worldly environment, and people change their attitude because they know you're in the room, or they stop what they're doing because they're like, oh, here comes the Christian guy, so we better not say that dirty joke, or here comes that Christian, so we better, you know, change the channel, or, you know, I play golf. I grew up playing junior golf, and I like golf so much, sometimes I'll go by myself and play golf, you know, and they'll team me up with somebody else, and this used to happen when I was in youth pastor and stuff a lot and living in New Jersey, and I'd be on like the third or fourth hole, and, you know, the guy I'm playing with would say, hey, so what do you do? And I'm like, oh, I'm a youth pastor. And he's like, oh, that's cool. And, you know, he had been like, his language had been very foul up until that point, and then from like hole, you know, number five on, he's like, oh, yeah, you know, he's like, praise the Lord, God bless you, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And his whole demeanor changed because he knew, well, I'm around this righteous and holy guy is the way the world sees Christians and sees pastors and people like that. And so they think they got to act a certain way, which is good in a way, but, you know, hopefully they come to a relationship with God. But if you are around people and they're still doing their same old thing and telling dirty jokes, like, oh, this Joe doesn't care if I tell this dirty joke, or, you know, Sarah doesn't care if I show her this picture of this guy, or you know, if I say this about this person. I mean, what's that saying about you, about us as Christians? You know, if we're not affecting those around us, if we're not salt and rubbing, you know, others in a rubbing off God on others and just being, making a difference that they can see and that they can taste, then we may not be the salt like God is asking us to be. You know, the world is corrupt and wicked, and there's bad things happen. The world is cursed. Ever since Adam and Eve sinned, the world was cursed. And so, you know, we know that, and it's corrupt. But without, God knows that the world would be more corrupt and wicked without believers, without Christians in our example, in our life, and our prayers. And so we need to be salt. And the third thing, salt induces thirst. I think I'll take a sip of water. Salt induces thirst. And as Christians, we are to model Jesus' love and life to create a thirst among non-Christians for the higher life in Christ. Some of you guys know our personal story, but my wife, Jen, and I, when I grew up in Seventh-day Adventist Church, and my parents got divorced when I was 8. And my mom had grown up Catholic, but after I was 8, we didn't really go to church other than for midnight mass and maybe Easter, but once or twice a year. And my wife grew up in United Pentecostal Church, and you know, sometimes that can be a legalistic environment where the way you look and the way you dress and the things you say and do are more important than the inside and your relationship with God. And so, you know, we made some bad choices in our life, and when we were young adults, we started, even when I was in high school, started getting involved in drinking and doing drugs and things like that. And my mom got remarried. We moved to Lakeland, Florida, and I didn't like it because it wasn't near the beach. I grew up in Jupiter, Florida, which is out of this world, by the way. It's really awesome. All the dads got that joke and nobody else did, but it was a great place, you know, surfing, fishing, you know, boating, all that kind of fun stuff. And I moved to Central Florida, which is hot. It's hotter, and there's lakes with alligators and snakes and stuff, and it's not as fun as the ocean. I met my wife there, but we were both, at the time, we were both partying, we were both drinking and doing drugs and not doing good at all. And my wife was a functioning addict, is the way I like to say it, because I could clean up well and get a job, but it would be a couple weeks, and I'd lose my job, so I wouldn't show up, so I was too hungover or something like that. And the first year we did taxes together, I think I had 12 different jobs or something like that. And my wife's like, what in the world? But so she was an assistant manager at a retail store, a clothing store, and so she could, you know, she could function and party and all that stuff. I don't know how she did it. But there was a guy there who was a Christian. There was a guy there named Michael Churchill who was a licensed Assembly of God pastor, actually. And he worked part-time And he just witnessed us. He watched us. He knew that we weren't, you know, obviously the way we were living. He knew our lifestyle was a worldly lifestyle. He knew we weren't serving God or living for God. But he didn't preach at us. He didn't condemn us. He prayed for us. And my wife would start to talk. We weren't married at the time. We were dating. But she would ask him questions about the Bible because she grew up in, you know, in Christian school and she knew about the Bible, but she wasn't living for God. But she would kind of try to trap him in questions and ask him, you know, what do you think about this? And he was never argumentative. He would just tell her and talk with her. And so one day she's like, I think we should, Michael's, you know, teaching a class at his church. I want to go. And I was like, all right. And I was in love with her, so I'd go follow her anywhere and do anything she wanted me to do. So I went. And so here's the picture. Here's what we looked like at the time. And not that it you know, the outward appearance is sometimes you can't judge a book by its cover. But I had a Camel cigarette hat on, and I had multiple, you know, piercings and cut-off shorts. And she had, you know, piercings, eyebrow, and all kinds of other piercings, and orange hair and, like, real spiky short hair. So we were punky, and we were didn't, you know, look like Christians, didn't fit into, you know, the class so much. And so we walk in, and it was a Wednesday night. We walk into this little small classroom, and it was an eclectic group of Christians there, about 12 of them. And we sat next to this older couple, Burl and Diane. I'll never forget their names, Burl and Diane. And Burl had, you know, gray, nice, had a gray hair, wavy hair, and nice big stash. And then his wife, Diane, had big, big old hair and blue eyeshadow. And, I mean, just all makeup, you know, everywhere. And it was like they were straight off the 700 Club. It was like, really cool, man. But nobody said, well, you can't come in here, you know, with a hat on, or you can't dress like that, or you shouldn't, you know, have those, you know, piercings or whatever. They accepted us. They, you know, they loved us. Burl took me golfing. They had us over for a meal. And 4 weeks later, in that classroom, we came to Christ. Because they were salt and light to us. And I don't know if I'd be here. I don't know if I'd be alive if they hadn't been salt and light to us. If they had said, get out of here, you shouldn't dress like that, or, you know, had a talking to us afterwards. No, it was 4 weeks we came. And we sensed the love of God. They didn't condemn us. They didn't judge us. They prayed for us. And once we came to Christ, we were convicted. We knew we weren't living for God. We knew, you know, things weren't right. But they loved us. They were salt and light. God's the only one that can clean us up. God's the only one that can save us. It's not our job to change people and save people. It's our job to be salt and light to them. In this world, God has said be salt and light. We can fight decay. Our job is to induce thirst in others for Jesus by the way we live our life. Jesus induced thirst when people were around him. Sinners wanted to be around him. He didn't think, well, if I'm around these sinners, they're going to rub off on me. No, he rubbed off on them. He wasn't afraid to be around sinners. He wasn't afraid to be himself. He wasn't afraid to be salt and light because he was the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And that's what he's calling us to be. And it's a huge calling because it can save a life. I said, I don't know if I'd be alive today if it wasn't for Burl and Diane and Michael Churchill and those people. Jesus saved me, but they were salt and light. And they changed our life. So, salt and light. Salt induces thirst. But Jesus warns us about losing our salty taste. The salt from the marshes and lagoons or the rocks in the neighborhood of the Dead Sea easily acquires a stale or alkaline taste because of its mixture with other minerals. It is then literally good for nothing but to be thrown away and trampled underfoot. Jesus, as he walked on earth, saw many Pharisees and scribes and religious leaders, people who advocated a formal legalistic religion in the place of the true religion proclaimed by the ancient prophets in the name of the Lord. For the most part, the salt had lost its flavor in the religious life of Israel. Christians who do not live effectively before non-Christians are like salt that has lost its saltiness. It is good for nothing and might as well be tossed out into the garbage. I need a volunteer. Anybody willing to volunteer? Janine, you want to volunteer? Come on up. Awesome. Give it up for Janine. Not reluctant at all. Thank you for being so willing. Awesome. All right. Do you know what I have here? What do these look like?
Salt.
Salt shakers. Okay. Let me here. Take that and pour some out in your hand. And oh yeah, that's good. Taste it and make sure it's salt. Is it salt? Okay. Cool. All right. You can just put it on the floor. They vacuum here. Or no, you can just dump the salt. Dump the salt. Yeah. Just. There you go. Yeah. There you go. I'll give you that one out. Now try. Do that one in that hand and see what that is. What's going on? You got one little piece out. Okay.
There it is. Okay.
It's a little chunky, but is it, can you tell what it is?
Yeah.
Do you think, is it kind of tastes like salt maybe?
Kind of,
it's like mixed with other stuff?
Yeah.
Okay, do you want to know what it's mixed with or no? Just kidding. It's just a little bit of water. That's it. Just a little bit of water. So, okay. So do you think? I mean, would you want to put this on your fries or your popcorn?
I mean, yeah, this one's better.
Yeah, this would probably be better as a paperweight or something.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome. Well, thanks, Janine.
All
I appreciate
right.
it.
Here you go.
Thank you. So, salt that loses its saltiness is not really good for French fries, popcorn, I mean, maybe a paperweight, but pretty much you're going to throw it, you're going to dump it in the trash because it's not fulfilling its purpose. It's not seasoning the foods, it's not preserving anything, it's not inducing thirst, and it's not really good for anything. And that's what Jesus is saying. You know, I've made you to be salt, and when you're not salt, you're not really doing what I made you for. I mean, that's the bottom line. You're not affecting change in the earth. You're not pointing people to Jesus. You're not preserving life. So the second question I want to ask you guys today is your light on? Is your light on? You are the light of the world, Jesus says. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand, and it gives light for all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. So here's another way to put it. We're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Here are some purposes of light. Light dispels the darkness and shows the way. You know, we didn't always live in electricity wasn't always invented or here. And we lived back in the day, back in biblical times, you know, colonial times. They used fire, they used lanterns and different things like that. And so before street lights and before public transportation and lighting like that, travelers depended on light to move more easily along the road. And as Christians, we are to show the way to God by shining the light that is in us. I need another volunteer. Who can I get to volunteer? Yes. Come on up. I'm going to come down here. What is your name?
Amber.
Amber. Hi, Amber. I'm
Hi,
Joe.
Nice to meet you.
You want to pick a flashlight? There you go. All right, we got our flashlights, so we're ready to go. We can go like a hike or, go camping with these or, see in the dark, right?
Yeah.
Flashlights. Okay, so you want to turn yours on and see if it's working yet. Yeah, be careful. It's pretty bright. Shine it at Kevin. See if it, yeah. Well, yeah, that's bright. All right, I'm going to turn mine on. Oh, let me see. Wait. Mine is not shining. That's not good. Here, can you see if that'll shine? Let me see that one. Yeah, this one's shining. All right, my light's shining now. Look at how bright it is. You can even see it on the ceiling. That's good. That one's not shining, huh? All right, keep your light shining. All right, so this is a flashlight. What should it do? Flashlight, right? It's supposed to flash light, but it's not flashing light. It's not even shining light. So it's pretty much not doing what, not good. I should probably take it back to the store, right? I hope I got my receipt. All right, cool. Thank you, Amber, so much. You know, our purpose is light, is to shine our light. And when our light isn't shining, then our purpose isn't being fulfilled. And light, our light, it dispels the darkness and it shows the way. And that's what we're to do. We're to dispel the darkness. Have you ever been, in a dark room and you're just like, I need to find where the light is? I mean, I used to be deathly afraid of the dark. You know, we would come home from vacation or come home and it was dark outside and I'd go into a dark house and I hated that. I'd have to turn all the lights on and look in the closets and the pantry and under the bed and make sure nobody was hiding, you know. I just feared that somebody was, a robber was going to jump out in the middle of the night. But, if you've woken up in a dark room and there's not a night light or the bathroom light isn't on, I mean, just, you can like stumble and fall over stuff, you know, trying to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night. But if you have a light, you can see. If you have a light, I mean, you just look up at the ceiling. I mean, it's light where I'm shining and I move it and it's darker there. I mean, it's doing its purpose. It's dispelling the darkness. And as believers, as Christians, we are to show the way to God by shining the light that is in us. Second purpose of light is to promote life and growth. Believers, Christians are to be involved in the process of encouraging spiritual growth. You know, I shared about our coming to Christ, and it was Michael Churchill was the name of the individual that worked with my wife. And once we got saved, he discipled me and his wife discipled Jen. And there were things in my life that, you know, when you first get saved, there's going to be things in your life that you need to, that aren't pleasing to God, that are not good or healthy in your life. And you know, throughout your walk with God, God will start showing you things. And other Christians will point things out to you. And once you're a Christian, you know, that's kind of mentorship there. And so Michael would point out, hey, you know, here's what God's word says, and this is really what you should be doing. And, you know, some of that I didn't want to hear. Some of that was hard. Some of it took discipline. Some of it, you know, had to learn, okay, this is a different way to live my life. But in order for us to shine our light, we need to shine the light of Jesus that is in us. We need to submit to God's authority. And in order for him to shine our light. Otherwise, we're going to be just, I mean, a Christian by name alone that doesn't shine their light has no purpose and has no impact in the world. And so by getting involved, by, you know, it's not about your church membership. It's not about your church attendance. But there's the church, the reason they do Wednesday night, you know, Bible studies and there's things on, you know, throughout the week and there's prayer meetings is to help you grow, to help us grow in our faith. And that's part of the life and growth process of being a Christian and going on retreats. And the youth camp is they're leaving today. And youth camp is so impactful. You know, as a youth pastor, I got to go in youth camp and just a few weeks ago, I went to the Oklahoma District Youth Camp with my three kids and there was 900 students there. And they say, they've done all kinds of studies, and they say the impact of 5 days at youth camp is equal to 52 messages, 52 weeks in church. So basically a year of sitting in the pew is 5 days at youth camp. Because you know what? This is what our youth pastor did. And I know the youth, I don't know if they do it here, but the Oklahoma Youth District, they know electronic devices. So, I mean, our youth pastor brought a safe and literally put all the phones in the safe during the week. And he's like, don't worry, you know, they'll be there. And he gave them back Thursday night so they could charge them for the way home, you know, Friday. But so you're unplugged for the week. You're worshiping God, you know, in the morning, at night. You're interacting with others. You know, we're talking with the students throughout the day. They're playing games, but they're having fun, and they're growing in the relationship with God, and they're growing in the relationship with others. And so they connect with God. It's not rocket science. Yeah, when we were in youth ministry, I'd say that to youth all the time. If you press into God, if you seek God, you will find him. And guess what? As adults, if you seek God, you'll find him. But we've got to seek God. We've got to set aside time to spend with God. And that light, the light of the world, Jesus, he will promote, he will grow us, and he will increase our light. And we will grow in relationship with him when we spend time with him. And so that's light promotes life and growth. The third thing, light gives proper perspective. Light gives a proper perspective on things which often take an odd or unnatural appearance in darkness or semi-darkness. So the light which we as Christians disseminate or spread widely is not our own, but comes from Christ, who is himself the light of the world. So, you know, when I go over here, I may see something that looks weird. I'm like, what is that on the? Oh, those are keys. Okay, those are keys. So I can shine a light and I can see what it is. But from over here, you know, I don't know if that's like a grenade or a cell phone or I don't know. You know, it's when you shine a light on something. If you had a sign and it's completely dark and I shine it on there, now I can see it. You know, dribbling. You see the. With Stribling, is that what? Cool, man. Okay, is that Stribling the name of a person?
That's my last name.
Your last name. Awesome, man. That's cool. I don't have a shirt with my name on it. That's cool. That's awesome. I like that. He's got his own shirt. Man, guy's going places. Awesome, man. But light. You know, sometimes when have you ever been like anybody afraid of spiders or bugs or anything? Yeah. I mean, if you're outside, like especially down in like South Florida, where we're about to go, and you're outside, you may see a lizard that looks like an iguana. You know, it's like that big, but because the shadow casts on the wall, it looks like it's 8 feet long or, you know. But if you shine a light on it, you're like, oh, that's a little toad or that's a lizard or, you know, a spider that looks 10 feet is really like an inch, which you may still be scared of an inch long spider. But it's, you know, light shows what it really is and gives us proper perspective. And so, you know, sometimes in, you know, if you're in high school, if you're in college, your workplace, there's rumors, there's untruth, there's lies going around. When we shine the light on that situation, and when we are light in that situation, and we're truth in that situation, that exposes and that shows, gives perspective to the situation. And when we fight back with the ways of the world and we repay evil with evil, and somebody said something bad about us, so we're going to say something bad about them, and we make up a rumor about them, that keeps things going. But when we say, that's not true, here's the truth, that shines the light on the situation. And that person, what is the person going to say? Well, they're telling the truth. Sometimes people want to fight. Sometimes people want to see if they can get a rise out of you. They want to see, hey, what's this Christian going to do if I act this way or say this thing or do this to them? What are they going to do? And if you do the same thing that they would do, or you do the same thing that the world does, they're going to say, they're just like me. But if you love your enemies, if you pray for those who persecute you, if you bless those who curse you, and talk nice about those or are kind to those who are mean to you, they're going to be like, something's different about this person. They're acting totally different. What's going on with this person? That points them, that lights the way to Jesus. They're going to see that difference in you. And that's what God is calling us to do, to be a light, to be salt and to be light, to make a difference in this world. When Jesus was asked which command is in the law was the greatest, he answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important command. The second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. God is love, and as God's followers, we are meant to be love and to share that love with others. And one of the many things that I've noticed about my son that I've learned in having a child with a disability is it's the way he lives his life. The way he loves others, loves God and loves others. Now, Micah, you know, if we hadn't introduced him to God, if he hadn't grown up kind of in a Christian home, I don't know if he'd be serving God or loving God, because I've seen others with disabilities who they've gotten caught up in other things and they're not serving God. But you know, you as a parent, you want your children to serve God. That's the greatest calling, that you want them to love God and to know God. And you know, when Micah was diagnosed with developmental delays and all those things, that kind of overshadowed our calling at the time. We were at Valley Forge Christian College, University of Valley Forge, and like saying, God, you know, why are you allowing this? We sold half our possessions, moved into cramped, you know, dorm housing, and why are you allowing this bad thing to happen to us? And God reminded us that all children are a gift from God, and that he had a purpose and a plan, that he knew Micah before he formed him in Jen's womb. And Micah's not a mistake, and people with disabilities are created in the image of God, and they have a purpose and a place in the body of Christ. And 1 Corinthians 12 said, we've all been given a gift for the common good. That's talking about spiritual gifts. So Micah has spiritual gifts. We've seen them. We've seen others with disabilities utilize their spiritual gifts. And Micah loves his neighbor really, really well, and sometimes too well. But he just doesn't have the inhibitions you and I have. Most of us would get embarrassed by, you know, kissing Pastor Andy's shoe, but he doesn't care, you know. And that's cool, you know, and that's who he is. And he is who he is 24/7. He is who he is at school. He just graduated high school. He was prom king. I don't know if I mentioned that, but we live in a really, it's pretty incredible. We live in a great community. His honorary member of the football team ran out on the field, and then he got elected to prom court, and they elected him prom king. And we had, I mean, that was emotional for us. It was kind of a legacy for the class of 2019. But it's the way he loves. It's the way he lives. He is who he is 24/7. Doesn't have a fake bone in his body. And so I respect that. I honor that. And that's, it's, you want your kids to be real. You want them to love Jesus, but you want them to be real too. And as believers, we're to be salt and light, not just here at church, but we're to be salt and light at the restaurant afterwards, at the workplace, you know, on Monday, and at school, you know, throughout the year. Otherwise, we're not being the purpose that God created us for, and we're not being effective. And that's, you know, that the one thing that I think that's the most refreshing thing about the ministry that we do. Yeah, life is tough sometimes, and you know, Mike is not going to drive a car, you know, even though he drove a golf cart recently on accident, but he wants to drive a car, but he shouldn't have a license. He may get married. He's a good-looking kid, and he's got a lot of girlfriends. We just got to keep him to one, you know, and monogamous. But, you know, there's some hard things, you know, and there's some things like, you know, I want to have a deep conversation with my son sometimes that I will someday, you know, and he'll be able to explain, you know, what he was thinking, what God was doing. So there's some hard things with disability, but the refreshing thing is that, and that they are who they are. He's content with who he is. He loves his neighbor well, and I get to witness that, you know, at camp we're going to next week. I get to witness people who are just real, you know, who love Jesus. And, you know, if that's the sacrifice or that's our call on life, that's okay, because, like I said, I wouldn't change it for the world. And Micah loves God and he loves people, and he's taught me to, you know, love God and love people better. And so it's a great, great blessing. Love, God is love, and love sent his son to the earth to take our place on the cross, to take away our sin, our shortcomings. Jesus is telling us our purpose as his followers is to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And so that's what we're to do. That's what we're to do. You guys, I mean, praise God for Marlton and what's going on with the field house and with just the expansion here. And obviously, you know, Pastor John and the team are leading you guys to Jesus, but they can't do it by themselves. And Pastor Andy, Pastor Liz, you know, Rich, they're not the only ones called to be salt and light. You got, if you call yourself a Christian, you're to be salt and light. there's a lot of people that live in Marlton and in New Jersey and Burlington County and in this area. They can't do it on themselves. And it's not fun really being a Christian and not being what you're called to do. It's you feel guilty, I imagine, like you would if you're not even a Christian. I mean, it's not fun not being what you're supposed to, you know, do. It's not fun going to work and not being, you know, effective and producing, you know, and marriage isn't fun if you're not putting, you know, your spouse first and loving them and you know, parenting isn't fun if you never spend time with your kids and you're not the father or mother you're supposed to be. I mean, that, you know, as Christians, yeah, it's hard sometimes, but we don't, it's also joyous. It's also better than it's the life that God created us to live. I mean, it's indescribable how amazing and how awesome life is when we're being salt and light like we're supposed to be. I'm going to show you guys a video and wrap it up in prayer here. The Ability Camp we do every summer, every July in New Jersey, well, actually Pennsylvania, Eastern Pennsylvania, at Stevens, Pennsylvania, Lancaster County, at Refreshing Mountain Retreat and Activity Center. And this is our 10th year or so doing it there. Pastor Jamel is our evening chapel speaker for the past 8 years, and Kiara is coming again this year for our morning speaker. And man, it's a party every day. It's awesome. It's a summer camp. We do rock climbing. Usually Pastor Jamel and I have rock climbing competition, and I'm still at the top of the 40 and over. And this is the first year that he's 40 and over, so he's going to try to take me down, but pray that he doesn't do that. And Kiara, that lady. Give it up for the worship team. Give it up for the worship team. All right. Oh, Christine. I see Christine. Yes, she's one of our counselors. So it's an amazing week. A lot of our campers, all of them have intellectual or physical disabilities, and a lot of them didn't get to experience summer camp growing up. So this is an inclusive, accessible summer camp for them, but it's also a Christian camp. So there's morning and evening chapel, and we've just seen campers grow in their faith every year. Campers get water baptized, come to Christ, and it's a powerful, powerful week. We need counselors every year. We don't need any more counselors this year, but as my wife's already processed all the paperwork and all that, so don't even talk to her about coming this year. She'd be like, her jersey will come out on you. So, but next year, put it on the calendar for the third week of July, and we can give you the dates. We'd love to have you come and serve as a counselor. We'd love a team from Marlton to come. That'd be awesome, man. Pastor Andy, I think Micah would like for you to come, if you want to come. If you know someone with special needs that is 18 and up, and you think they would enjoy it, going to summer camp, tell them about it. You can go to our website, abilitytree.org/abilitycamp, I think, right, Jen? Or talk to us afterwards. But I'm going to show you just a recap of camp and what goes on, and then I just want to close with you in prayer. So thank you so much. I really enjoyed this opportunity to be able to share with you guys. And again, just thank you for your financial support. Thank you for your prayer support. We've got hundreds of individuals and churches that partner with us on a monthly basis. We couldn't do what we do. This is full-time because of churches like you and individuals like you that have allowed us to do this for almost 10 years. It's amazing. So, and Speed the Light purchased the van that's out there, which we're going to be driving to Pennsylvania and then driving down to Florida and then driving all the up on the West Coast all the way up to Northwest Arkansas. So thank you guys for allowing us to do this. We love you and we appreciate you.
People ask me why I do this, and Ability Tree is important because we're all God's children, and it's just really, He loves us all. We all have gifts to offer, and I just want everyone to know that they're valuable and they matter, and I want everyone else to know that people with disabilities matter and are valuable.
We love coming to camp because
all the campers and the staff members and the love that they show to each and every one.
I like it's fun here. It's really fun, like a family.
I love this camp because it makes me treat my life around.
I think one of the biggest things that you see is that the individuals that come to the camp as campers help each other out so much, and they love each other so much.
So these are friendships that we want you to be able to build. This is the highlight of their year. So of course, I want to make sure I have counselors that are with them and that are going to be able to spend time with them.
You don't have to have a specialization or degree working with people with special needs. You just have to have a heart for people and be willing to sit down and get to know the person.
Thank you, guys. Let me just pray with you. Father, we just thank you for this day that you have made. Thank you, Lord, for giving us life through your son, Jesus. Jesus, thank you for being salt of the earth and the light of the world and trusting us, God, to be salt and light. And God, I just pray for everyone in this place. I pray for those who are listening, God. God, I just pray for a passion to be salt and light that you're calling us to be. God, if there's people here that call themselves Christians, but they aren't being salt and light, God, they need you to pour into them right now. I pray, God, they would call out to your name. They would call out to you, Jesus, to help them to be salt and light. Lord, I pray for every person in this place, God, that they would find their purpose in you. You would show them what you're calling them to do, God, and I just pray for Marlton Assembly to be known as being salty and bright, God, for you. Continue, God, to give opportunities like the night out, national night out, and other things where we can shine as light to our community and be salt to our community. God, I pray for all the young people, God, that all the high school students, middle school students, God, elementary, college age, God, who have such a great opportunity to be salt and light in their schools. God, there's kids that are killing themselves, literally, taking their own life, God. God, I pray that our students, God, would be salt and light to those, God, lead them to those that are so lost and so hurting that they think they have to take their own life, God. Give them the words to say, God, to point them to you. God, we just pray for all the dads, for all the moms. God, help them to be salt and light to their kids, God. God, help them to be salt and light, God, in their workplace, to their neighbors. So many times we just get caught up in the busyness of life. We don't take time to say hi to our neighbor, to say hi to a person around the block. God, as Christians, let us be salt and light. Let us be different than the ways of the world and even the culture where we just don't say hi or don't talk to somebody. Let us be different. Let us be counterculture. And I just pray just for continued blessings, continued direction for Pastor John and team. God, continue to use Marlton Assembly of God as a beacon of light in the community. We just love you and we praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. You guys are welcome. We'd love to meet you. We have a table out there. We'll be sticking around here. I think the worship team's going to play a song. So if you need prayer, we'll be sticking around too. And I think Pastor Andy's coming up. So, but thank you guys so much. It was a privilege.
Would you go ahead and stand with me this morning? We're gonna sing "Jesus, We Love You." And in your life today, if you, as you heard Joe speak, what an incredible testimony!
Hey, buddy,
you are that tickles. If God has been moving on your heart in this, I'm gonna encourage you to come to the front as we sing this song, and simply pray and say, "Holy Spirit, will you help me be salt and light?" Holy Spirit, I want to see these relatives, these coworkers come to Jesus. And I want to encourage you, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, God does all the work. Your job is to pray and to be obedient. And don't let the fear or the voices of doubt stop you from influencing those around you. So as we sing this song, I invite you to come forward and worship.